At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Boom! On a Wednesday. It is a beautiful day out, and it is Beat Colorado Week. Greatly appreciate you hanging out with us for the next hour, and we have got a night for you here on Ticket. Ticket Weeknights on fire tonight, and as the lineups fill up with student athletes and local talent, it's really cool to sit back and kind of watch the growth of this thing. 402-464-5685 is the Sartor Hammond text line. If you want to be a part of what we're doing, you can. You can text us, or you can follow on the video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X, Allo, Channel 961, if you're Miss Jackson and you're nasty. Jump on Allo and do your thing. Come on and be a part of what we're doing. We got a good conversation for you. I'm excited. For several reasons, and over the course of the next hour, we'll go through some of those reasons. But to be fair and to be honest, there's only one way to do this. Harrison Arns, if you would please.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash with a silver hat about his head and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
That voice, that clip can only mean one thing. We are joined by the coach himself, Barry Thompson, Fairfax Football Academy, by way of the W&L Generals.
That's right. Shout out to my
general. Right. To the generals, whether it be the Washington Liberty generals now, the Washington, the folks from down Lexington way.
Yeah, General Fry.
Right. That you are a general in full. To give folks a little bit of the backstory of why this show, this particular hour, is so very cool to me. In my life, I have people who come and go, and then I have people who stay. I have people who I am so universally attached to in several ways by the most important of things. One, he knew me when I had nothing. He knows me now that we have things going well, and he is the same captain. He is the same Barry Thompson that he was back in 1974. Wow. In 1974, he was the same leader. He was the same friend. He was the same spirit. He was the same dude. When I met him in junior high school, he was already the dude. Huh. He was the quarterback of a middle school team that was loaded. And this was loaded. And he was the guy. And he was the county wrestling champion. And he was the national skating champion. He was all of those things already. And he was legitimately the most serious and funny dude at the same time.
I want to meet this guy.
Right, like that I can imagine. That listen. And then when I got to, so I watched him. And Harrison, it's a thing where you watch the person that's a year ahead of you who has gone through things that you haven't gone through, probably can't really perceive going through. Yeah. He lived a different life than I did. People will think that Barry and I are so similar, but we come from different places, different backgrounds. But we met in a place. And then constantly, whether it was through that yarn of connection, admiration, respect, or other, that I was fascinated by this dude who did. I mean, like, I thought I wanted to be a wrestler, and okay, but you watch Barry wrestle and go, no, that's not it. That's not it for me. I'm going to go shoot this hoop. Like, I'm going to go shoot this hoop because I'm not wrestling that dude. And from a football standpoint, coming to high school where he's an established guy, established leader of the team and a leader in the school, even as a junior, he's already the guy. And as a senior, he's absolutely the guy that people talked about differently. He worked differently. He played differently. And so I had to, you know what? I'm going to draft with this guy. Whatever good is going to happen here, he's going to be a part of it. He'll dictate how this thing goes, right? Direct impact. And to say that we had on this high school team, we had some dudes. And Harrison, to tell you that two NFL linemen are on this team and there should have been four or five, that we had a series of five D1 type running backs that just all kind of bounced off each other and played along.
Tight end that
in every metric was an All-American, and with all of that, Barry was still the guy that when I had doubt, Barry was the, I can say this, it's you and Reggie Harrison. Reggie Harrison, who played for the Steelers, blocked a punt in the Super Bowl, went to our high school, and our high school had some dudes, so we'll talk about that. But Reggie Harrison was an assistant coach on that team, for that team. And when I had doubts, because I was an underclassman watching seniors who were already under D1 watch, I got frustrated. But in critical moments, Barry Thompson will look over and say, that dude. So let me publicly in person say thank you to Barry Thompson.
Thank you
for all of that. Because listen, I'm not here without you.
Yeah. So let me, that's great. Now I can go 15 minutes on you and everything that you've done here too. And I did say it to you earlier, I really do want to congratulate you on everything that you've done here and make yourself part of the community. And we've talked about the business and so forth. But I think what your story brings up is something that I often tell a group of parents when they're around young people is those kids are going to latch on to you, right? And you don't have any choice in the matter. Somebody's going to look at you and say, yeah, that's what I want. And so you have a responsibility to be the best person that you can be because somebody else is watching you. Even if in a high school level, if they act like they're not watching you, they're watching you. And so that story kind of brings up, you know, that fact. And so for those guys out there, we always talk about the 2 and the 22. And just for the audience, we talk about the 22 hours off the field are way more important or heavily influenced the 2 hours on the field. So if you don't understand that your thoughts and your behaviors and your actions don't directly impact football player that you say you want to be, you better start understanding it. And as you move along that path and you start doing better yourself, you do have the ability to influence somebody, impact somebody, and you never really know how much, right? Until they own a radio station, they sit down and tell you.
Like, it's a thing that there were so many responsibilities in play. And you talk about the 2 and 22. And I tried to say this to people all the time about the Huskers and about the NBA and about the NFL, that who people are. Yeah, we get 2 hours or 3 hour pockets to assess and evaluate what happened in the other 165 hours a week.
Right.
Not often do we speak about the 165 plays way more.
Yes,
it does. What coaches have done. How coaches live in the 165, how players live in the 165, all the other things that happen in the 165.
Yeah.
certainly have more impact on the 3 hours than the 3 hours on the 160.
Absolutely. It's a recognition when you start talking about that it is a people business. So, you know, the higher up you get, you can kind of feel that it's transactional, that, you know, I got this, I'll go and play. But at the end, there has to be some emotion, some connection to what you're doing. And that's established by consistently doing things right in an organized fashion, by having integrity to the things that you say and do. And that kind of gives people a chance to kind of coalesce. And upholding standards is real important, right? You know, Jimmy Johnson kind of said famously, I don't treat everybody the same, but I treat them fairly. And, you know, whatever your rules are for doing that, they have to be understood. You know, the Cowboys kind of understood the famous stories that if the kicker fell asleep, he'd cut him. But if it was Michael Irvin, he'd gently lift his head and put a pillow underneath him, you know. But as long as everybody understands what those rules are, they don't change from day to day. Those things are really, really important. And you're right. The 100 and we were saying 3 hours for a game, right? 168 mm-hmm. hours in a week, but say 3 hours for the game. Yes. Who you are as a person, the people around you, that, you know, that impacts everything. You go back and talk to some of those Patriots in that run that they had. You know, it's very clear the type of guys that Brady will get up and talk about, or Teddy Bruschi would talk about the guys that he played with. And that doesn't always happen. And the reason it doesn't always happen is because so rarely are pro players giving those type of marching orders, right? You know, my Raiders, they had it back in the day. Theirs was wild, but they had it, and it was consistent, and that's how they rolled. But so however the rules are, it is important. Everything leading up to that moment is important. That moment is just a byproduct of everything else, right?
You and I have had many conversations about the fact that, as you said, you're being watched. Mm-hmm. And as coaches, parents, educators, mentors, et cetera, right. You're a leader in a company, people are watching you.
Yeah.
And the thing that is often missed is that the leadership has to live in a way that represents the best version of what the people under them are trying to live.
Yeah. And it's sometimes when you talk about it, you could kind of think like it's a pressure. People are watching me. Yeah. And it's just, that's not the right way to react to it. It's a responsibility for you as an individual just to do the best that you can. It's not because people are watching, but you have a responsibility to do the best you can, not just for yourself, but for others. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we mean when somebody's watching. They're not like, you know, trying to hawk you out, and they shouldn't feel pressured. And we're not talking about being perfect then.
Well, no.
No, we are not talking about being perfect.
Like Harrison, I've brought friends and family around Harrison. Mm-hmm. And you better believe that Harrison sees it.
Yes.
Like, it's, wait a minute. And if I brought a whole train of knuckleheads onto the station,
right.
He would say, no, sir. No, sir. Yeah. That is not it for me.
Like, DP, how you living outside?
Right. Like, what are you doing? And you can't, like, I certainly can't aspire to that.
Right,
like,
right,
I don't want
right.
to do that. Right. But there's another thing that in sports, that coaches have this thing where if they miss it, it's a layup missed. You gave me one of the best compliments and greatest responsibilities you can give me by allowing your young people to be around me.
Yeah.
Like, you allowed me to coach your son,
right,
who was a prized asset, yeah, mind you. Yeah, yeah. Like, because we knew this was going to be something. We knew your two young ones were going to be exceptional.
Right.
So if you're going to choose me to be around them, I have to then give them something.
You bring up a good point. When I started my business, one of the things I had to contemplate is I thought in the business sense that young people and parents have so many options as to where they can spend their money and spend their time. And I remember that was just an overwhelming thought for me. I'll bring it to your point. And so I thought, you know, yes, I have all this knowledge, I can help somebody, but I thought first and foremost, I better find a way to make that hour spent with me, I better make it valuable somehow, that they feel that hour spent with me was really worthwhile, that the player would want to come back, and that the parents would see it and go, ooh, that's really good. And that's what you're talking about. And I, when someone chooses me, somebody say, I heard about you, and they come, and I still feel that same thing. What I'm digging for and what you dig for is I'm trying to figure out how I can get, and I brought this up before, how can I get the win with this individual? I'm not trying to assess whether they're going to be a first round draft pick or second round draft pick. I'm trying to figure out how do I work with them in a way. We're going to do football as the kind of clothes that we're wearing, but how do I work with them in a way or her in a way that moves this train forward? Because I don't know what they're going to be. And so I've got to work with them in a way that when they leave me, they think, man, that was good. That helped me do this. You know, I decided this wasn't for me, but something you said on the field, something we did together, something that still stays with me. And that's first and foremost in my mind. You know, I'll teach you how to throw and we'll cover all this stuff. But if I don't get a sense of how I can help you, I start to wonder, okay, what are we doing here? You know,
so much of what of your winning and winning defined in a variety of ways, mm-hmm. but in that your engagements are positive and forward moving.
Right.
That you have a statement about where you meet young people.
Right.
And that's important.
Yes.
Because a lot of coaches don't have that. So give the folks your statement on where you meet young people and what you're trying to accomplish with.
Well, I'll just say that I think there's an adage out there, that, and I'll mangle it a little bit. It's like, I won't accept you as you are. I'll accept you for what you can be. And if you agree on that, we'll work together and go get that.
And right? that has to be said.
Yes.
And it's a mutual thing.
Right.
Of you as a coach, leader, mentor, acknowledging that, hey, listen, I'm here for better.
Right.
And then them accepting it and saying, you can hold me accountable for it.
Yes. And the analogy, because I struggled with, like, why do I have successful quarterbacks and define it? And I thought, the thought that came to me, I work with quarterbacks the way an O-line coach works with players. If you ever been in a high school meeting and you're trying to figure out your personnel, you're always short on the line. And everybody has to pick the litter, and they turn to the O-line coach and say, well, who's going to be right guard? And he goes, Earl. And everybody goes, Earl. He goes, he's going to be all right. And they go, really? So, yeah, Earl's going to be okay. And what happens is what we talked about. Earl's probably undersized. He's little, you know, he's under 200 pounds. Coach likes him because he's a wrestler. He knows the kid works. And he's kind of made a deal with Earl that said, look, if you work hard at this, I'll work hard at this, and we're going to get this done. And so that's the deal that they make. And then pretty soon the backhanded comment to the O-line coach is, you're probably in the third game and nobody's talking about Earl. They're talking about the O-line. Can we get the O-line to do this, right? But all he did was take a kid that was willing to work, right? And he says, if you're willing to work at this, I'm willing to help you get better at this. And it's so funny because O-line coaches, that you hear them curse, you hear them yell, but you don't hear the 500 repetitions he's given Earl on, hey, we're running, this is play side, this is your first step. He gives them all that. Mm-hmm. At the point he yells at Earl, he's supposed to step with his right foot, plays going right, and he steps left. He yells, Earl knows he messed up. And then to continue it, what you don't know about is when the season gets in the season, it's all communicative. They're all talking. Hey, what'd you see out there? Now they have a language that they're talking about. So I think I work with quarterbacks a lot the way that an O-line coach works with players. And that's how they get it done. Not enough coaches do that. You know, I don't look at how big they are. It's like, do you want to work? All right, let's go make this happen, right? Don't tell me you can't. Old man Can is dead. My dad buried him, right? Mm-hmm. So we're not going to do that thing. And we're going to keep working and working and working. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody once, there's a parent that once described you working with their son as that Barry makes the bread by hand.
Hmm.
That you have to get in and get up to the elbow with it. Yeah. You can't do it from a distance.
Yeah.
You don't want it. You don't necessarily need it prepackaged. You know what?
Yeah.
We'll make the work and it'll be worth it.
Yeah. There was a saying, I heard this about quarterbacks, guys that train quarterbacks. There are guys out there that can take players, say any athletic development. They can take it. It's the analogy is your car. They can take your car and they could detail it, it looks really nice. And then there's guys who could take your car, detail it, but they can lift the hood and make it run better. And hopefully I'm one of those guys that can make it run better, right? And it, make it look nice too. But the main thing is, does the car run nice?
It's funny. You've never once talked to a quarterback about how they look. Not once. Generate, like, seriously, yeah. It is a thing. All in how they run.
Yeah.
100%. That, hey, listen, do I need to get in the hood here?
Yeah.
Let's talk about, hey, what are we putting in this thing?
Right. No.
Something's not working.
It's all under the hood. It's all under the hood, right?
Through all of it, right, that you decide that I'm going to build quarterbacks. And
right.
You could have gone in the full other direction. Full disclosure, Barry could have decided he was going to be a head coach and given up the focus.
Yeah.
But what Barry, his reach, the tentacles have spread out, and he's produced this collection of not only quality quarterbacks, but really good human beings.
The biggest surprise, and I don't know why I didn't think it, is watching my college guys mature, the men that they are becoming, because we now have, we have guys from FBS, FCS, we've got some Division II, Division III. Division II guys, Division III guys. But my next wave of guys that are bucking up at that lower FCS, power, a group of five, not power five, but they're hitting the same spots where my guys are. And I get these gushing things from the mom that took them there. Yeah, we saw, I'm going to out them. We saw Grant, and Grant was kind enough to, you know, take us around, took us on a tour. And I'm like, that's my boy. You
know, like, It's all planting seeds
and
providing nourishment.
Yeah.
You and I, there's two facets to it. You and I love saying we got one. Like, there'll be these texts along the way that, again, even states apart.
Yeah.
And I'll just send the words, I got one.
Yeah.
Because when you find out that the young student athlete becomes a scholar athlete.
Right.
Or two, becomes an exceptional human being.
Yes.
In full.
In full.
Like, we watch it and you go, we got one.
Yeah.
And to understand that these seeds are planted because your young people are making more good young people.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, there's some names here, and another guy, Grant, like, I had another quarterback that's going up to Yale, and I was able to pick up the phone, like, Rye, hey, I got a guy coming up. Can you take care of him? Rye said, yeah, I'll be out there, and boom, you know. And then Leposki of Delaware said, I got a young guy coming to Delaware. It's like, you look out for him. Says, yeah, I'll take care of him.
And low key, just to highlight the fact that we're talking about producing Ivy League athletes, scholar athletes, right? Because the quarterback thing is one thing.
Yes.
But when those quarterback traits,
let me brag on
Rye. Right, those quarterback mechanisms.
Let me brag on Rye.
Yeah.
Rye was a good high school quarterback in a very competitive program. And then when it came to recruitment, William & Mary, which is a very good school, wanted him as a tight end. He went there. He did well, got on the field as a freshman coming out of the COVID thing. And then there was a discussion about money. I'm not talking NIL money, just money for school. And they weren't coming up with it. Rye transferred into Yale.
How about them?
Transferred into Yale.
How you like?
And the first season, they win the Ivy League championship, and he's sporting the ring. So, like, I'm going to brag about Rye.
Right? Like, how do you?
And
like,
by the way, and Mrs. Yates is, if she's listening, her whole litter, because it's not just Rye, it's Kale, his brother, and before Kale, the receiver. Guys, Cord, the receiver, was an all-region receiver. He's playing in college now. Kale is the youngest that's going through. I mean, the whole Yates family is just unbelievable. But yeah.
But that's also the thing. So we're talking to Barry Thompson, quarterback coach, Fairfax Football Academy out in Fairfax, Virginia. And he's got young people all over the place. And as they grow into grown-ups, they're leading more young people. And that is a funny thing, because a lot of our players are now coaches.
Yes.
Like, a lot of our former players are high school coaches now.
I ran into that. There was a pad camp at Fairfax High School. And so I looked. There was a quarterback at Fairfax. I'm just rattling names. Fairfax, West Springfield had a quarterback. Herndon had a quarterback. WNL, of course, had a quarterback. Langley had a quarterback. And there was one more team there. And then I look across, and a kid that had trained with me, he's the quarterback coach.
Right
at Fairfax,
right?
So it was crazy
to go through it and to be clear, one of my favorite things is watching the evolution of what Fairfax football does and who it reaches.
Yeah.
Because it started with a couple.
Yes. Yes.
Like we said, you know, there's some days that there were two infused, right?
I have a picture. Some Mrs. Marciando, I think, called it. I'm dropping all these names that won't mean anything to anybody unless they hear the broadcast, but these are great people. She called it. It was a little field at Providence Park, and she called it. It was probably five kids out there. And so now it's, you know, about 100 a week. Yeah.
Just literally. And a part of my frustration here is I don't hear and see that in Lincoln. And it would set up. I mean, there have been some quarterbacks here, and I don't, before anybody comes at me, just saying, you know, I didn't say Lincoln had quarterbacks.
Right.
What I don't see is the volume and the quantity that I would see in some other markets, some of that size.
Yeah.
But I think purposeful organization
matters. I think it's something, you know, we talked a little bit about my skating thing. One of the things when I was training in skating, I knew that there were all these good skaters that were around. And I just remember as a young guy having a dream, wouldn't it be really cool if they all got together and they trained together? It happened a little bit at the rink that I was at, but I knew there were more that could come together. And I think subconsciously, when I started, that was probably something that happened because, you know, there's been years where I have all the quarterbacks from one of the top conferences in the state of Virginia, the Concord, like not every quarterback that was there. 2 years ago when I was at Westfield, there were 14 games, two scrimmages, 10 regular season games, two playoff games. There was only 1 week where I looked across the sideline and there wasn't a quarterback. And by the way, that quarterback that week, he trains with me now. He's at Concord. So in the Liberty district that we're in, a lot of the kids are with me. It just changes. Some years I'll have in the six levels of the playoffs, I'll have a kid in every playoff rung except maybe 1A. So six through two, right? You know, and they get to be around each other. They know each other and they train with each other. And I think it, you know, iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
I think it's who you train with is important. So Lincoln, like if there's somebody here, get it together. Like, don't be jealous. Bring them together. Good players training with each other. They absorb. And here's the thing about it. In the group training format, when a quarterback is coming in, he's coming to the workout with a different mindset because he knows there's three or four guys there that are going to be better than him that day or better on a throw than he is. And he's a competitive guy. And then the most important thing is he leaves the workout change because when he's by himself, now it's not just an old man saying, hey, you know, they're out there working hard. He knows they're out there working hard, right? And he knows he's going to come back in a week and he wants to be better.
And he knows that the guy that he's competing with for spots and wins is working hard.
Exactly.
You can't sit at home
right now
when your rival is doing a thing. We'll throw it to break, Barry. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this quarterback game. We'll talk about Dylan Raiola. We'll talk about the quarterback play, what it's like in this, and Shedeur Sanders. They're two totally different dudes.
Yeah.
But there's lots to talk about. Barry Thompson, DP, on 1-on-1, 937 The Ticket. Barry Thompson from Fairfax Football Academy. I'll let you all know how to reach him and reach out to him at the end of the next segment. I do want to remind folks, it is Colorado Week. And if you do not have your tickets, there are several ways for you to get your tickets. No, this is me. We have tickets.
Oh, yeah, we're streaming only, so it's fine. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
I forget.
No, but we have tickets.
Okay.
We have tickets. I have tickets.
What you talking about?
Yeah. So there are ways for you to win tickets from the ticket. There are ways. A couple things. So you have to follow the ticket on social media. Find us on Facebook. There is an actual post that says, if you like and share this, we will choose that will qualify you to be a part of who we choose from to give those tickets. Also, X, Twitter, same thing. The post is there. If you like and share that text, we will choose one of the people from that. We'll put the names, all the usernames, we'll put them in a bag and we'll shake it up and we'll pull one out and give you two tickets to see the Huskers beat Colorado. And then, here at 11th and 0, the mill, the ticket, this location that we're at. If you come down and make a purchase, you buy coffee or a smoothie or whatever it is, you buy a burrito, whatever, your name goes into the box and we will draw two sets of winners from the box right here at the mill. So again, you have three ways. Don't have to break your bank. If you can't get down here before then, get on social media and get busy. If you can get down here, and I'm just going to tell you, at last check, there were 700 plus shares on X. So 1 in 700 is kind of the odds. Facebook, probably 400 shares. 1 in 4, pretty good shot. Here at the mill, I can tell you there's probably 60 tickets in that box.
Look, at somebody's running right now.
Yeah, you got a better shot. Don't trip and fall. I'm not trying to do that. But come down, and at 12 noon Friday, we will give out all four of those pairs of tickets. Adam Carriker Show, 12 noon. We will give the four winners. So if you don't have your tickets and you want that done, you have until 12 o'clock Friday to share, like, and share on social media, or get your butt down here to the ticket and to the mill and make a purchase, and you can do that as well. So again, we're looking at, it's the hookup. We're also Friday at the Apothecary from 4 to 5:30, courtesy of the folks from the Omaha World Herald. We're going to put together a Husker event. Think of the Big Red Brunch, but it's just Big Red Happy Hour. Big Red Happy Hour is what we're going to call it. 4 to 5:30, there'll be Huskers there, taking pictures, chatting it up, doing the whole shebang. Tickets, you can get them on the Omaha World Herald site, or we have a table of 10, which means we have 5 pairs. And through the same names that we put into this ticket draw, we're going to invite 5 pairs of people to come down and hang out with the Huskers for the happy hour. So lots going on.
Yeah.
Lots of ways for you to engage and react. Harrison's like, yeah, but I saw an email today saying not to solicit tickets. No, that was we had people who were trying to sell tickets or buy tickets via our text line and on air. And I was like, no.
Okay. Got to.
Yeah. There was a lot of that going on. And I'm sitting in the back and I hear it. And I came sprinting out going, nope, we're not doing that. That is not how we're going to do it. My captain, Barry Thompson, Fairfax Football Academy here. And Barry, to talk about this Colorado game in full requires, I mean, you could talk about Matt Rhule and Dion. And I kind of want to close with that. But to talk about Shedeur Sanders as the number one candidate for best quarterback in the country.
Right.
What is it as a quarterback coach when you think of, when I say the name Shedeur Sanders, what comes to mind? What makes him special?
He's a chess player. It was even in his first year, you could see that he was trying to figure things out. I mean, not like in a fumbling, incompetent way, but in a surgical way. He wasn't just doing everything that he was doing was intentional. And you saw that premise work out a couple times last year where they kind of whatever, and then all of a sudden things were going. You particularly saw it in the game, was last week.
North Dakota State.
Good team. That North Dakota State quarterback made a lot of money that night.
Mm-hmm.
But Shedeur was never frustrated, constantly kind of figuring things out. And proof was that he was loading that computer because he is becoming a big moment guy, right? What was it? How many yards was it? 95 yards or something like that with 40, 50 some seconds left?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had been collecting all that information. He knew exactly how that drive was going to go, what he needed to get them down the field. So he is playing at a very, very different level. And I think I talked to you. I think people could think that he's about the flash. He's not about the flash. You would be missing everything about him if you watch him play. He is a highly intelligent player, a very intentional player, a very prepared player. And then on top of that, he has a high skill level, right? So you put that in the box now. And we talk about who you hang out with. Well, who's he been hanging out with?
Yeah, Mr.
And Donovan. Absorbing every bit of that he can. And he's the guy who Jay was talking about. He's probably to the point where he's studying defenders too. I got a quick story about that, what Jay was talking about. It's a Ray Lewis story. They were going to a Pro Bowl, and Ray knew Peyton's wife and so forth. He was down there and just kind of chatting up with her, and she suddenly turns to Ray and says, "You know, he studies you." And Ray said, "What?" "Yeah, he watches film just of you." And from that point, Ray said, "Okay, bet." He went home and built a film studio and did that. I brought that story up because I bet Shador already has that room built. And so that's what it is. So don't miss a really good player, an emerging, very smart, very intelligent quarterback who is going to be the type of guy who will fairly consistently deliver when it needs to be delivered. I think that's what's coming for him.
Yeah, I think most fans are missing the layup with Shador and Travis in that they are cerebral assassins. Yeah. And they maneuver folks, and they understand the mechanics of it, the schematics of it, and the philosophy of it. Right. Like they, you the psychology of it
too.
Like, yeah,
a horn. You got to throw a horn in there too. Yeah. I think people are not realizing
he's another incredible generational player, and he's been fed.
Yeah.
He's been around the game at a high level since he was a child.
And I'm going to say Horn, as good as he is, I know the way that Shador and Travis work and prepare. I know that's affected him.
Mm-hmm. The draft certainly plays.
Yep.
But it's also, when you talk about second generation, you're talking about Dylan Raiola and the fact that he's gotten it from a different perspective.
Right.
And the work ethic, you have to compartmentalize Dylan Raiola's talent and skill sets. That his toughness, his physical toughness, emotional toughness, psychology behind him, he understands it, his maneuverability,
right?
Not mobility,
right.
Maneuverability. And then you get into the skill sets and those things. This is a talented young man.
Yes.
Give me the quarterback coach pitch on Dylan Raiola.
Well, he also hangs around with some pretty good people too.
Yep.
Shout out to Coach Christensen. And then whatever his connection is with Mahomes, if he's having conversations with them, it's like a long time ago. I don't want to lose the audience, but early in LeBron's career, you want to know how people handle money. Well, he was meeting with Warren Buffett, right? So when you see young people kind of attaching themselves to those types of things, you say, okay, we're on the right track. We're listening to right. Dylan, in my opinion, as a young quarterback, just because we haven't seen a lot of them, I maintain the best setup for him is the setup that he had in the spring and the setup that he had last week, where he's not forced to do many things. And here's why I think it's important, because it will ingrain in him like how to win a football game, and how he will win a football game, become a special player, in my opinion, will be he learns how to make the layups and how important they are. And then his ace up his sleeve is his mobility and his arm strength and everything else. You just don't want to start the game out putting your whole cards out, right? You want to hold them back a little bit. And him being kind of having the opportunity to say, hey, we got good defense. We don't need to take a chance there. You know, part of his personality, some of the throws that he made, like I looked at him, I'm like, Dylan, like, why are you doing that? But part of his personality is he would say, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. But part of his brain was like, yeah, I just missed by that much, right? And so you want some of that, right? You want a lot of that, because he is going to make those throws and he is going to get a receiver to make those catches. But he just, hopefully he doesn't have to reel it all out. And I think it'd be a mistake for him to think that he's on this platform and he needs to match Shador. He doesn't. In my book, and when I write the job description of a quarterback, the first three objectives are a total of six words. Win the game, win the game, win the game. Job one, to do whatever your team needs you to do to win the game. And for him, it may be just completing the easy stuff, avoiding a sack, not turning the ball over, and let this defense do what it's supposed to do, figure out enough in the run game that they can get some yards when they need it, and just hold on for dear life. Maybe that's how they win the game.
Yeah, it's going to be that kind of chess match.
But he doesn't need to match Shador. He doesn't.
Yeah, that part, and it had to be said, and we keep reminding folks. All right, we'll talk to one more break, then we'll come back, and we'll ask Barry Thompson the question that we need to ask him. What are you cooking, Barry Thompson? What are you cooking? What are you eating? Barry Thompson, quarterback coach, one-on-one, 93.7 The Ticket. Segment with Barry Thompson, one-on-one. Harrison, what's Ticket Weeknights like tonight?
We got a full schedule after this one. As always, we'll have the former Husker, DeMorne Pearsonell. And then we get Kendall Liner from 10-11 News. She'll have a guest in as well. And then after that, the Malone Radio Show, 9 to 10 o'clock, as always, come Wednesday nights. And then from there, depending if the Royals are already done, we'll have some replays for you as well.
Yeah, isn't Nick recording something for a happy hour for two?
Yep, and I think the plan is for that one, we might drop that tomorrow. Okay. We'll wait for Nick on that one.
Because it
should be a good show.
Yeah.
Talking Colorado football, so we'll make sure we get a big audience for that one.
Yeah, and we Virginia boys, we got to get you straight. It's Lanier.
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 That is the grandson of the greatest linebacker in Kansas City Chiefs history.
Willie Lanier.
That is Richmond, Virginia's finest right there.
Lanier.
Yeah, Willie Lanier. Yeah. I was like, 63 was a dude.
And Buck Buchanan.
Buck Buchanan, Bobby Bell.
Bobby Bell.
You know, they had some beasts back there. Emmett Thomas in the back end getting it done. Yeah, Nick just finished up, so he's loaded up. So it'll be there. Barry Thompson, it is the question. What are you cooking?
A lot of options. I think if you're tailgating or a big gathering around the house or these rooftops that I've seen.
Yes, sir.
I think a large shrimp boil would be really good.
Get it.
You get your crab boil seasoning. You can find it. One of my favorites now is this one called Slap Your Mama. You can follow any directions for your boil. You get your water going. You put your potatoes in, you put your smoked sausage, andouille sausage, if you can get it, you put your corn in, and those things absorb all the flavor that you put into that water. And then at the right time, just go in with your shrimp. If you have access to some crawfish, throw those in. Some places you can find them frozen. Mm-hmm. That's a great, then you strain it and dump that out on the table with some newspapers and just get busy, and then pick the papers up and throw them in the garbage. I think it's a great way if you're getting together, even a tailgate, right? No muss, no fuss, a little bit out of the bag, right? Mm-hmm. You can get your wings, you can get your burgers, you can get those after when you get hungry again. But a good shrimp boil would be great.
Barry, we got about 90 seconds, and you have been visiting around Lincoln.
Yeah.
What's the scouting report on Lincoln, Nebraska from
Lincoln,
from the outside?
Lincoln is great. Haven't been in this town in probably over 40 years or so, and certainly things have changed. But what hasn't changed are the people, and they are Nebraska nice. They talk about Minnesota nice. They're Nebraska nice. Courteous on the roads, plenty of parking, just fun, easy layout to the towns. That kind of grid layout, one-way streets and everything else. But yeah, really good place. I picked great weather, right? I picked awesome weather. Just Nebraska nice is nice.
It is an absolute joy. Again, if in 1974, 1975, we say, hey, you and I are going to be doing a radio show in Lincoln, Nebraska. In 2024. Hey, man, you want to talk about how impressive
Boo-ray.
The university is? You want to talk about how impressive it is? We could have sat in the locker room at Washington Lee High School in Arlington, Virginia. And playing it and said, hey, guess what, Lincoln, Nebraska, we're coming.
Yeah, we're coming for you.
We're coming. Don't go anywhere. That's Barry Thompson. I'm DP. Harrison Ahrens, they will take you through with DPE. Full night on The Ticket. Stay tuned.